Isn't it remarkable, this being still? It's so rare in these modern lives to pause, to stop, to be still. And there's no distinction between movement and the, pardon me, the unmoving. Evidently, the unmoving adores movement and it embodies. But so lovely for ourselves and our embodied openness to rest, to be still, to savor. So these gatherings are unusual in the world and luckily just flourishing all over the globe now and in all beings' hearts, even if they don't know it's there. But just you being on this call feeds this unveiling of what is within all beings. So I thank you. And this is also an opportunity as sages just to trade notes. Often sages, we have an active inner life and of course very active in our daily life, but it's wonderful to be able to trade notes with seasoned sages and share what you're noticing with all of us. We really appreciate it. So if you have an inclination to do that, just press *6 and that will unmute you.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Julie in Oregon.
Hey.
Hi. I just wanted to say it was uncanny that the first thing you said when you started talking was evidently stillness loves movement, because I was sitting here in some seemingly brief moments savoring the stillness, and then in a lot of other moments noticing the movement of my mind and the sensations and all, and then of course pre-formulating a question, because the mind likes to do that about stillness and movement. And so I'm not sure exactly what the question is, but maybe you already gave the answer. I don't know. Do you have anything else you could say about that?
Well, I trust what you notice, because we're all experts on all of this, though the mind might disagree. But I love being very curious and just peering into wherever I'm drawn, and I just am so struck that activity is animated by deep relaxation, and something that's even more relaxed than deep relaxation. So I just think it's all so captivating and curious, this oneness. And I love how things look other than they are or feel other than they are.
So it's almost like looking behind the movement and noticing the stillness. And even though maybe the movement doesn't want to come to rest all the time, it's okay, because one is enjoying the other, I guess.
Oh, beautifully said.
Yeah, that feels pretty good.
Wonderful satsang. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
Hello.
Hey, this is Kate.
Hello.
Hello. When we were just sitting in the silence and mind was moving all over the place, and it's similar to what Julie just said. It was just about that the movement was the attention of the stillness. So I was trying to put my attention on the stillness, but the movement seemed to be, that was the attention of the stillness. I don't know if that sounds crazy. And then I said to this attention, could you look back at the stillness? And I just kind of got an image of that we farm, and it's like we think we're growing the food, the nourishment, but it's the stillness that grows the nourishment, but it's our action, our movement that sort of makes the nourishment into something we can use in everyday life. Does that make sense?
Oh, wonderful. Yes.
So it's kind of that combination of the of our action, you know, makes the stillness nourishing. I don't know.
Yes, because our hands are, of course, stillness's own hands.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask for myself something. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So I've been feeling kind of really overwhelmed lately, and just everyday life stuff. And I said to overwhelm, you know, thank you and deep respect and overwhelm. But I don't want your thanks and I don't want your respect. I just want to be out of here.
So that was overwhelm's view, that it just wanted to be out of here.
Yeah, it did not want. And I was like, oh, if I can't thank you and respect you, I don't know what to do.
Well, so it was asking for freedom, wasn't it?
Mm. So I said to her, I said to her, how do you want me to be with you? I said, and he said, just get me out. Get me free. I kind of got a bit stuck there, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, so it's beautiful to notice that a lot of the forms and functions within that we don't need anymore, that were helpful in role play, and are definitely longing for their return to their unconditioned naturalness.
Mm.
So here's overwhelm, and it had its hand up in your satsang.
Mm.
Yeah. So just inviting it to look behind its role or its function.
I did that, and I just saw that it was big, that big sorrow. And then I tried to see, maybe I'm trying, you know, I see about sorrow that you've said so many times is too deep for one person. It must be everybody's sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I felt that, it was just like, just too much to bear. And I'm going all over the place a bit, but I'm very frightened the other day, and I felt the fear, and I really strongly realized that the fear was there, and then my senses, my body was making it my own. Yeah.
Yes.
But when I looked at sorrow, so that was really freeing, you know, to say that fear wasn't personal. Does that make sense?
Exquisitely clear. Very true.
Yeah. So that was displaying my kind of amazing, sensitive body making it personal, if you like. So that was really clear. And then, but when I came to sorrow, and you said so many times it's too deep to be personal, I couldn't get that connection of it being everybody's sorrow and me interpreting it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And what's noticed in this moment?
Just the it's just huge. The overwhelm is sorrow. The sorrow is overwhelming.
Yes. Yes. And ask it, who are you that you feel so deeply? Who are you really? So Ramana's great question, who am I? But now, who are you to the sorrow?
I just get this feeling of us as this, the mother of all beings, just despairing.
Yes.
You know, just despairing for the people, for the animals, for. Mm-hmm.
And ask her, before she was that. Who are you really?
I'm not sure if I'm getting the right thing, because I go to this stillness, there's just the darkness, but it's not infused with anything, if you know what I mean. It's not.
Yes, yes, yes. Empty but present, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just invite all cells in your body just to rest back into that.
So there's a little part of me complaining that that's not the bliss.
Yes, but even bliss likes to rest. So this is probably where bliss goes to rest.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really is.
Freedom and rest for all beings, including bliss.
That's interesting.
And we're just checking it out. We don't have to.
Yeah, it's kind of scary because it's very, very still.
Okay, and we're just getting the body used to it. Of course, this is what everything's made of, but just reassuring it's safe.
I think this sense of stillness I haven't really come across.
Just staying with it a little bit longer than distraction or movement would like us to.
Okay, it's dropping into the belly now.
Yeah.
And then the sense of strength connects.
Wonderful. Yes. There's actually more strength in formlessness than in form. Curious. And here's this gorgeous, some sages call it luminous darkness, but it's what we adore about the evening sky. Here it is within.
So my heart is still fearful of it.
Yeah, and ask the heart what its concern is.
It's so crazy, it doesn't make sense.
Yes, we're definitely in the there's elemental realm where there's no sense or the opposite.
That's quite interesting, because it's not the mind saying it doesn't make sense, it's my heart saying it doesn't make sense, which is weird.
All right. And just invite the heart to check it out.
Oh, yeah, the heart can be free there, too.
Very good.
Actually, it's free to feel pain there, which is strange.
Well, that which holds the omniverse, that which holds everything, really holds everything. So love and sorrow would be included and even welcomed.
Okay, yeah, heart's beginning to expand now. Oh, that's a relief.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you for staying with all that.
Much love to you.
Much love.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes?
It's Andy.
Hey!
From England. Hello. How are you doing?
Very well, are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Quite a bit been going on, coming up, however, to put it. I've actually been listening to quite a lot of the recordings of these telesatsangs. And I just want to say thank you for it all, really, because it feels such a lovely way of connecting, you know, to the Sangha, and really sort of really, yeah, just sort of, and it just is, just that, and it's just nice to know that it's here.
Yes, always here.
Always here and available, you know, just to tune in. I imagine, I know not everybody's in the States, because obviously my last caller is in England, but it's, I just imagine you're all over in California, and I don't know where you are, but hey. And I have a feeling that what I would like to ask about is, it's to do with my role as a mother. I notice my sons, three sons, all grown up, and I notice when I'm with them, it seems like a role comes over me, so to speak, and I don't always know why I say what I say to them, and sometimes afterwards I think, well, why did I say all that, and you know, it wasn't really necessary in terms of, I don't know, well, actually I'm going to be able to find words for it right now. It might not be the best time to be asking you.
Well, it's actually clear seeing that's noticing when the role comes over it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to me, it's, if I would dilute it down, not dilute it, but reduce it down, it's just the play of love and worried love.
Yes, and that's the one, the worried love. That steps in, and I feel sometimes wants to say too much in trying to sort of help. You know, where I don't know. I mean, there's probably a discernment, and I don't always have the discernment as to when it's something is helpful, or whether actually it's trying to sort something out which doesn't need sorting and isn't mine to sort.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Yes, all of us on this call are intimate with those movements inside.
Mm.
So best to sit with them when your fellows, your young men, are not around, to sit with the worried love. Just honoring that it's devotion, and help it see itself as love. We're just thanking it for its loving concern and That helps it relax enough so we can show it its true nature. But you'll have your very unique satsang with it. It doesn't, at the moment, it doesn't feel as if it wants to rest, whatever.
Oh, is it active and concerned about something?
Well, something is. I'm not aware of being concerned, but my body, like I've got a headache, and my body tells me there's something going
yes.
on, and that can often be the way I feel like I can be okay with hearing their troubles or whatever it is, and feel like sometimes, like I said, the role maybe doesn't feel quite right, but also I don't feel all right with it, but then my body will react.
Yes, so it's all this stuff. The worried love is on automatic, and then it does apparently touch the body, because the body is pure receptivity, and it's also pure love as well. So just thanking all those reactions inside. And it doesn't have to be sincere in the beginning, the gratitude.
No, that's something to remember, isn't it? That it doesn't have to feel sincere to begin with.
Yes.
What's coming up is that hearing their troubles can tap into my own. That somehow it reminds something here about what it's. Thinks it's troubled about.
Yes. And just soothe it a bit, because the body-mind wants to give you backup. To have a full felt sense of whatever is being experienced. And the body doesn't need to do that. And the mind doesn't need to sift through and replay and review everything to find a solution. So we're just soothing the body-mind enough so it can rest. Because these are all habits that are on automatic. You're not the author of any of them.
Yeah.
And when the sage notices what I call these old-fashioned services and brings that benevolent awareness to it, then it can wake up too. Because it's sort of on sleepy automatic, you know?
Yes. That's so resonates. It's just... Yeah.
And even just thank you. I mean, if that's all we ever said inside, our whole body mind would relax and root and open and rest. Even the mind would
sometimes if the mind here ever gets activated into old-fashioned services, it's almost like a chant. I just say, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Mm.
Wow.
And after about the fifth, thank you for your love, it goes, mm. it's so funny. Everything is made of devotion and service and intelligence and love. And then as soon as it contracts, that's where it gets uncomfortable. I mean, so much love.
So it's adding
into an apparently small body, you know?
Yes. Yes, of course.
And then we can also honor that all those movements in you want the best for your son.
Yes, there's a bit of me that doesn't want to hear of their, their troubles that I can relate to, and I want,
Yes. Even that part, the one that doesn't want to hear, and just, of course you don't want to hear that. You want all to be well.
That's what I mean when I say I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know that them having difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And then we can allow them that rooted strength and clarity that meets all challenges.
And somehow I feel like I do find that I can find myself speaking and saying things that I don't really know why it's something I've said. I'm not sure whether I believe it any longer and that sort of thing. But at the same time, I feel like perhaps in sort of situations with them that I want to somehow trust what comes out.
Yes.
That it is in some way relevant.
Oh, good.
And this is a mind question, but can I tell whether it's the mind wanting to engage with them or whether it's, you know, my true nature?
Well, if somehow they're being perceived as less than true nature, then we're looking through the glasses of conditioning, the lenses of conditioning.
Yes, and I think I know that.
So,
and that's what I don't, that doesn't feel okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's natural, especially with the role of mom, you know.
Yeah.
That role is half love and half worried love.
Mm.
It's the nature of it. The best gift you can give your sons is to, even in this moment, just bow to their true nature, to their majesty and dignity and wisdom, because it's all there, of course.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Pamela.
Much love.
Thank you, and to you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela.
Yes.
Hi, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom.
How are you?
This moment is wonderful.
Thank you. That's great. Well, thank you to everyone participating. I wanted to say that I really sense that black night stillness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice. And also, though, I feel like I'm a movement within it, like separate from it. And there's a desire to be it.
So honor, we could honor the perception of separation for a moment. Because that was originally designed for love and devotion. Like Ramakrishna said, why would you want to be sugar when you could savor, be that which savors sugar? So there's enough of an apparent separation for devotion and gratitude and all that to flow. Just honoring separation and oneness, which I know you do.
Yeah, there was a big emphasis in being unique and separate and different, I guess, growing up. So those muscles are strong.
Oh, yeah, and uniqueness is a natural quality, so that won't go away. It's almost like we're honoring perception itself, and then, you know, the intellect might label within that separation, but really it's perception. Perception is allows for this undivided intelligence to look through various facets. So it's like a crystalline jewel perception that we can look through that facet and experience that or that facet. We're just thanking anything that moves or anything that we notice.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that is kind of new that seems strong is that desire to be a part of, to be connected to. Yeah, and just acknowledging how strong that is and how kind of new, fresh.
Maybe we could just say yes to the longing for a full return.
Yeah, that's nice. It's it is real allowing with that saying yes. It seemed like there was a bit of a well, just not giving into it. Yeah, it feels like it really opens up.
Mm.
Yeah, it was almost like something was wrong with that, wanting to, having that deep desire, that longing.
I love longing because it's such a shortcut back to a felt sense of oneness. Like, when we say yes to the longings that resonate. And
yeah, well, it's so deep, and it some resistance to it is not wanting to be disappointed, but it's there's no disappointment there at all when you just let it be. It almost feels like I'm dissolving into the into the silence.
Mm-hmm.
Not disappearing, just integrating.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Is it okay for another question?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, Pamela. Can I ask my question now?
Please.
Okay. Whenever I go to a satsang or an event like this, I feel really good and grounded, and I feel like stuff is really opening up, and I'm getting in touch with important parts of myself. But then when I get out of the satsang, I feel really bad a lot of the time. I just don't feel good. And it feels really disorienting and kind of like I'm stuck in a fantasy, or you know, there's like a lot of, I don't know, bad habits or bad mental habits or things, and I'm just looking to not have that happen quite as much.
Yeah.
It's pretty unpleasant.
Yes. So I have a unique way of kind of calling the natural sage from within. Can we play a little bit? Would that be all right?
Sure.
Yeah, so just, even if it's not fully resonant, just imagine you're giving satsang inside, you as the warm, benevolent space that you feel while you're in satsang, hopefully now. And just invite disoriented and bad habits. Just, you're kind of inviting them closer for a moment. And even if there's resistance to all that earlier stuff, invite that to come sit too. So most of the time we only want, you know, clarity and relaxation and joy and wisdom to come sit with us. But now we're kind of inviting the bad boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those habits that are trying to sedate or the body-mind or, you know, fulfill desires and resistance and protection. Just invite all that.
Okay.
Yeah. And just see what service they're trying to give you. We don't have to know, and they don't have to know. They can just reflect or look. So you're just asking all those things you don't like, what service they're trying to give you.
Yeah, it's almost hard to focus on that.
That's all right. What are you noticing in this moment? Just the heart to focus?
I kind of don't know where I am right now.
Okay. Now, just reassure the body-mind that that's okay.
Well, yeah, actually, it weirdly feels fine.
Oh, good.
There's a lot less knowing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it just feels like I stopped doing things that I don't really need to do right now.
Right.
Which is good.
That's good. So maybe just invite everything to rest inside. It's rare. Sometimes I think of a lot of the old-fashioned movements inside that we don't need as apps. They're all on automatic. So we're just inviting all of those to rest, rest, rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I just suddenly lost a lot of expectations about how resting looks, or how I'm, or where this is going, which I think is good.
That's good. Yeah. Because for me, most of my seeking was from the mind, and it just wanted to enhance or edit anything it didn't like about the character or the body or the past, or and so that was such a relief when that editing, enhancing habit dropped. Like, yay.
How do I kind of go about my earthly business, but also kind of stay here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, the Pamela or a Sam would be the middleman, so to speak. So the role doesn't need to know how to do that. Because I think of our roles are kind of like t-shirts, and they're designed to kind of subside so that this naturalness that you are, that you always have been, can shine and live its resonance and be creative. And so as far as I can tell, it's pretty simple, just following your resonance, and being practical, and taking care of the body, and listening within.
Mm-hmm.
For the listening within part, I had to learn how to soothe the body mind, because it would go from relaxation to tension and back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when I showed the body mind its true nature as life itself, or as still, intelligent presence, that seemed to stabilize the felt sense of beingness. So if you honor mm-hmm. your body mind.
Is that an active process?
No, or? Only when it gets itself all wound up. It's like you're sort of like the resident sage at rest, and you only give satsang inside when when you're invoked, really. Like the mind will send a distress signal, or the belly or the heart or something. Most of the time you're just being, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the time there's just distress signals going on all the time.
Yes, that's my experience was of that was because I wasn't functioning as the clarifying space inside. So I was just gazing at everything and letting it arise and subside. But when I started to give a little compassion or notice when something really needed to know its true nature, then the distress signals could relax. Because they're only amplified because we're kind of ignoring everything or trying to sedate it through things that don't really work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just as a scientific experiment, just bow to your body mind as a mystery and as life or nature itself. Just a little bit of honoring.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it respond when there's that inner bow or that inner respect?
I think there's a lot of thoughts, and pressures.
So you're aware of thought and pressures?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just honoring that.
I think there's a lot of sadness that everything feels so broken.
Oh, yeah. And it's asking you, is that true? Is everything broken? Now, if we don't ask thought, but we ask the heart,
I don't think it knows what that even means.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't have to know anything or get anything right. Would it like that, living that way, not having to know anything?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, well, whatever.
Okay. So ask it, let's see, because it's sort of given up. It sounds like the mind is sort of like, ugh, don't give me another belief or another whatever. Ask the mind what would satisfy it forever. What is the mind's deepest longing? I And it doesn't have to believe anything or get anything right, and we're not going to ask it to do any homework.
I think it doesn't want to suck or something
yes.
like that.
Yes. Yeah, and can you tell it how wise it is? That's actually wisdom.
I'm having a hard time even talking to it.
That's all right, yeah. In the beginning I was trying to fire everybody. And then mm-hmm. I had to smoke the peace pipe with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but it did bring a very beautiful truth to you. It said, I don't want to suffer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So does the mind notice that when it goes into its role of human mind, that suffering is built into that role? Can it notice that when it contracts into small object mind, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just kind of sent me this image of that.
Okay. So ask the mind if it would like to live its true nature, which is wonderful, and we guarantee its safety. It's not going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So invite the mind to look behind all of its ideas of itself. So behind all the files.
Well, it kind of shut down right now. It's not really doing anything.
Yeah. Now let's stay with it a little bit, Sam, because can
sure.
it notice that behind all the files, and if we don't use the label shut down, that the mind is kind of quiet and silent, the true nature of the mind?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Now stay with it, because it often will jump back into thought.
Right.
Yeah. So invite the mind to notice that its true nature is silent, and it hasn't lost any of that remarkable intelligence that it is when it rests. We're just inviting the mind to be curious about its naturalness.
I don't even think it knows what's going on right now.
No, that's all right. Now just honor it, because this is pure intelligence. And just go slow with it. Just yes, 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 thank you, whatever you want to say. It's kind of like if you and I were working with wild horses and we finally got a wild horse up to the fence to take an apple, that would be an amazing moment. So this is an amazing moment. The wild horse of the mind just got quiet. We're going, wow, look at you. Look at you. You're amazing. Whatever you want to say to it, or you might not need words.
Yeah, it's kind of careening back and forth over thinking about doing things. And,
Yeah, and it can have all of it. It'll still have practical, creative thought. But ask the mind if it can also notice it can absolutely rest and not lose anything of value. It can rest and open. And be really
I think there's been a lot of anger towards it.
I know. I had to apologize. I did that too. Yeah, the mind has a bad rap in satsang. Some satsangs, it's like the villain. But it's also pure presence and life itself. Does that resonate?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm feeling a little disoriented.
That's right. Now, soothe disoriented. Just be a friend to it. All it's asking is, is this moment safe, really? So is this moment safe? Yeah, and as you're the resident sage within, your embodiment will trust you when you confirm what is.
Okay.
Well, meaning if there's a distress signal from the nervous system or something, you can just check. This was something I had to do with my body mind for about a year after the shift because it had been under really extreme survival stuff right before the shift. So it's still in the nervous system. It would have this quiver or this distress. And if it would start to do that, I would just check, see if there was any threat, and then I'd report back. No threat.
Yeah.
All is well. We're here. Bringing even the body mind into the present moment. Safety.
Yeah, I think I don't really know what's going on because this is like a new way of interfacing with kind of reality. And so
Yes.
I don't really have answers to any of the questions.
Yeah, they're just more for your body mind, not for you or just here as innocent presence. Yeah. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Have you got time for me to say anything?
We do. We have lots of timelessness left.
You sound pretty relaxed. I remember seeing something about you saying you enjoy relaxation.
Yes, only because I was an expert on stress before. So now I'm like, oh, wow, I'm a convert to relaxation.
Well, that's kind of what I love to hear in your voice. It kind of, I kind of, it kind of gives me something that I feel in your voice. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, when you was going through your awakening, for want of a better word, I don't really like to give it a label, really, but did you have a time of just not being very functional?
You mean after the shift?
No, sort of in the process. Like, did you become kind of very relaxed and not so...
No, because I was in survival mode. I could confess that the role was not practical, and the role was so overwhelmed it actually couldn't function well. But I think what you're speaking of, and correct me if this doesn't resonate, is that apathy is the harmonic of peace. So if, you know, there's this kind of low-functioning okayness, is that more what you're speaking of?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a phase in my life where I'm really not productive. I've become very kind of relaxed. And I think I just wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit, because I kind of draw some support from something about you, and I don't even know if I can voice it really, but I guess I'm trying to say is that I seem to be in a process at the moment that I just become more and more relaxed. which is fantastic. I love it.
So good.
And inside myself, I'm very happy with my lot. There's a little thing that concerns me, because it's just like prompting myself to get out there and do a few things to kind of, you know, to kind of just to put some bread and butter on the table, basically. I probably can't voice this very well, but I'm very aware of what I'm in, and it's ongoing, and I'm kind of hoping that sooner or later I'll be able to come out more. Like my biggest love in life is connecting with people, kind of seeing and feeling and responding to where they're at. That seems to be like the biggest love I have in my life. But currently, in the process I'm in, I'm kind of lying low. And I've got a history of kind of, you know, really striving and seeking for whatever spiritual thing I thought, you know, I could attain. And that's all kind of crumbled now, thank God, because, you know, I kind of had a spiritual ambition that really ultimately didn't deliver. But what it has delivered is this kind of very relaxed person that's talking to you now.
Yeah, but I have a feeling you've had your shift, because there's no person that's relaxed. You're just living as relaxation itself. Now, productivity subsiding or relaxing is also... I'm going to do a terrible joke, but my mother used to say to my sister and I sometimes, you all are going through a phase. So that is a very restful phase in the unfoldment. as you spoke so beautifully earlier, that the striving and the seeking fell away, and even the impulse to go out and be with people is resting.
Yeah,
so it feels like you're just in rest mode. And then my experience of it, and we'll all be unique, my experience was that there was this amazing rest mode for a few years. And then activity just arose from that. And it was quite startling because the body, mind, and I, we were just in deep rest mode. And then all of a sudden it was like from there we went into a rocket mode of activity.
Ah.
Yeah. So I think there's a wisdom in the resting because it allows the nervous system and the body, mind to recover from role play.
Yeah, that's very much. Well, I recognize what's going on. I just kind of wanted to reach out to you because of where you're at and the kind of satsang that you make available. I just kind of wanted to say something. I don't know if I express myself very well, but I just wanted
to... No, it makes absolute sense. Lovely. it's just, I think, I always look to nature for confirmation of what is, and I see how wise winter is, that all beings, even trees and everything, retreat deeply into themselves for nourishment and quietness, and then spring forth. So here we are, just in the cave of the heart, resting.
That's very what you said. That funny enough, I finally managed to get out of the house today. I actually live in Glastonbury in England. It was a lovely sunny morning, and I kind of really, really soaked up all of nature and the cycle that it's currently at, and it was hugely reassuring. I kind of been in this thing of really feeling to hide away from everything outside of my house.
Yeah.
But today I stepped outside and nature really kind of connected me to the season and just everybody out there kind of enjoying the season, which for me was real, real nourishment.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so these are all natural rhythms of presence or stillness or life.
It was very nice you saying that you kind of burst into a phase of activity. I that's kind of reassuring in a way. I'm as much as I'm enjoying relaxing more and more. There's something in me is kind of looking and maybe honing what I have to engage in the next phase of my life. The activity that you talked about kind of resonates in a sense. Possibly something that's in front of me at some point.
Yes. Yes, it's inevitable because rest and activity are not two. And yet, in its own wisdom, it just follows its own tides almost of retreat and then into fullness of activity and then retreat and... Yeah.
Well, that's lovely and reassuring. I think that's what I wanted to hear.
Oh, good.
That's wonderful.
Much, much love.
Oh, and to you.
Thank you. So we have enough timelessness for another sage.
Hello, Pamela.
Hello.
Hello, this is Lawrence.
Hello.
Well, I was listening to your last caller, to And I definitely resonated with what he was saying because I've been in the same place for a while of just that very quiet mode of resting and recovering from, you know, from all that went before. And everything was beautiful and peaceful for quite some time. And then there was a shift in the body and a health problem came up.
Mm.
And that was a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since that happened, it stirred up this lack of confidence. I always trusted my body to be healthy, and I always mm-hmm. thought of it as my golden chariot that I could mm-hmm. rely on to take me through anything. And now I'm not sure that I can rely on it quite as surely as I used to.
Okay.
And
well, let's just soothe inside a little bit. Because even if there's one area of the body that has a health challenge, for the most part, the rest of the body is absolutely healthy. We
yes,
always overlook that.
It is, but it feels as though one of the wheels has come loose.
Yeah, but just soothe that perception. Because it's asking you what's true. So the shakiness in the field or the worry or the fear is just asking you what's true.
Well, what's true is that there's the quiet space,
mm-hmm.
there's the eternal stillness,
mm-hmm.
and still there's anxiety.
Yes.
About the body, together with that, being aware of the stillness and the
yeah,
eternity.
Yeah, both are there.
I'm
very
sorry?
Clear seeing. Yes, you're the big space that notices the field of presence and then the anxiety. So now honor that the anxiety loves the body and wants the best for the body, but's worried. It's very rare that we honor the heart of the anxiety. The anxiety is saying, this is a wonderful body. Let's keep it. I'm worried.
That's it. There's
yeah.
the worry.
Yeah.
That something's not quite right.
Okay, so now invite worry a little closer. Because otherwise it's way in the back of your satsang hall. Come here, come here.
The worry is very worried.
Yeah.
And it thought that there would be a very simple and easy story of awakening, that there was this kind of spiritual path that led to nirvana, and we were proceeding along the path.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the shifts. Everything was peaceful. And then suddenly this happened, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be to be part of this beautiful story.
Okay, so say yes to that. Natural not to like that addition to the story.
There's a feeling of confidence being shaken, you know, that the story isn't going the way it was expected to go.
Yeah. But now, just a little hush now. Hush, hush, hush. Because we don't want it to write. It's already starting to write a new story. And we just want to soothe the mind and the nervous system. Would that be okay?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, just soothing it. It's safe, it's safe.
Well, it knows that it's ultimately safe, but it doesn't want to wind up living part of life in hospitals and doctor's offices.
Yeah, but just agree with that. Of course you don't want to do that. I agree. I'm joining you. I agree.
It's really afraid that that might happen.
Yeah, and just a few no thank yous. We're just doing this preliminary satsang of kindness and clarity to get it to relax a little bit so then we can liberate it as anxiety. Because anxiety isn't helpful.
No, it's not.
It's devotional, but it's not helpful.
Well, it makes up stories.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning with anxiety spinning a new story.
Yeah.
What might happen.
Yeah. And just hush, hush, hush. No, thank you. No, thank you. Enough now.
And, I mean, it's also, at the same time, it's easy to see that right here and now, everything is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no pain, there's no real discomfort. It's just, you know, what I was told by an MD and that
right. Something
has to be done.
Yeah. Now, you are, in terms of your enfoldment, you're at the exact moment in timelessness where anxiety needs to be liberated out of the body.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like also the nervous system is ripe also for just like you, with your violins in the past, you would always check the strings. So I think of the nervous system as the strings.
Yes.
Of our stringed instrument, the body.
Yes.
So we're just bowing to anxiety. Now don't touch the content. And just feel a little shakiness in the nervous system. And we're just bowing to it and soothing it.
There's also this little question that arose. I always thought that first comes the thought or the story of the mind, and then comes the feeling. But now I'm not so sure. Sometimes I think the feeling comes, and then it spins a story to express itself.
Well, you know, it's kind of a circle. So both are true.
Yes.
Yeah, but we definitely want the anxiety to be liberated from the body, because it's actually it's not in service, though it's devotional. So I'm not moving against it, but just thank it and ask it if it would rather live its true nature, because its true nature is something very constant and relaxed and clear.
Yes, I feel that, and I feel I'm aware of its true nature, and it keeps coming up and saying,
yes.
But
that's right. See, you are clear seeing, but anxiety isn't sure about resting. So we just want to see what its concern is. So ask anxiety itself, what is your concern about resting and living your naturalness?
It's afraid of death.
That's okay. So if it maintains agitation somehow, it won't relax into non-existence, something like that, right?
I think that's it. Yes,
yeah. So ask it. Here is an entire Sangha from all over the world giving you back up your anxiety. Would you just for a moment look into your naturalness and check it out?
Yeah, it's right here. Yeah. It's the confusing thing is that they're both here. The spaciousness, the naturalness, the presence, and still that anxiety comes.
But that's only because anxiety itself isn't actually, honestly, has a fear of relaxation.
Yeah.
Because it believes in the existence, non-existence nonsense.
It's afraid that if it relaxes, everything is lost.
Yes. Yeah. Now, that's stressful.
I see it. We're just going slow with it
because anxiety itself is like millions of years old.
Yeah.
And we're just going really slow and asking it if it can notice that it's safe to rest. And we're just inviting it to check it out for itself because you already know that. Everything else within you knows that.
Yeah.
And anxiety is just like, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling.
Well, okay. It knows that by experience because it does rest and
yeah.
Everything is still the same, you know, and everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
When it rests, nothing falls apart.
Okay, so... So ask it, so how come you come back and freak everyone out? Whatever it says is okay.
Good question.
Is that what it says?
It doesn't have a ready answer.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, now bow to it. It's amazing. I mean, because from anxiety's point of view, if... You know, when I interviewed it, it was like, I'm here to keep you safe at any cost, even if it means frying the nervous system and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, now just honor it as pure devotion. It's your little alarm bell. And ask it... Ask it why it loves you so much that it's always frantic on your behalf. Why do you love me so much? You're frantic.
Well, because of who it is. It's the beautiful presence.
Okay. And does it now ask it, and are you also beautiful presence? Could you also join the party here?
Yes. I mean, that's who it is. It's beautiful presence arising and saying, you know, I want to keep you safe.
Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. So now, if you get really big, Lawrence, and just uncontain yourself out of your body, just like a big,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this morning I woke up so totally clenched and so in my body, trapped in my body. And
yeah. Well, it's only because all your devotees inside are worried for you.
Yeah.
But they don't need to worry about you.
No.
So now, as this uncontained field... Can you just comfort anxiety? It's like it needs benevolent space to hold it, and just enough, meaning for a few extra moments of timelessness.
Yeah.
So it can come out of its function or habit into just rooted, relaxed space. Still here, can still live as devotion and love.
Well, now the story has kind of subsided or just totally relaxed, and the anxiety feels better because it's just here as itself.
Mm-hmm. As present?
As present,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can deal with it that way now.
Yeah. And then also in terms of the unfoldment, it's the timeless moment in the unfoldment where you as presence permeate your whole body.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, so that's why there's been this quickening and this apparent thing happening, is just to get presence to move down, 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 through the belly, down into the legs.
I really never expected this. I mean, it's not for sissies. It's really not for sissies when it's
right.
Moving through the
Now,
body.
It doesn't have to be what is, because sometimes these things flare up to get presence to permeate its entire body.
Yeah.
Like, I had, a lot of weird things happen with my feet.
Mm.
And, I mean, what a clue.
Yeah, that is.
I was like, and then they all just moved through when I really permeated, because we have such habits as formless presence to kind of rise up and expand.
Yes.
So now we're being invited to root downwards and permeate and soothe and adore the rest of our body.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's feeling.
Yeah.
That it's just moving through, and that there are certain places that just are not comfortable when it hits them.
Yeah, and just bow to any discomfort and just stay with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all is well, and you know, these things often can flare up and then subside.
Yes.
So why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Pamela. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, dear. And thank you to the rest of the Sangha for being with all of us.
Thank everyone. And my daughter is on, too.
Oh, bowing.
Thank you too, sweetheart.
Yes. Beautiful.
Thank you, Dad. I love you. Oh.
I love you too, sweetie.
So, of course, satsang is eternal. It's that which holds everything. It's who we all are within. So it never ends. And yet, apparently, this telesatsang is complete. So I'm going to return the hosting back to Kate with much gratitude.
Thank you, Pamela. And thank you, everyone. It's so sweet, so beautiful to be together like this. And luckily, we can gather again just next week. Pamela will be joining us again on Sunday, the 29th. Same time, same place. So we'd love to have you back here. If you would like, you can go ahead and unmute yourself by pressing *6. You can say our goodbyes. And when that feels complete, I will go ahead and end the conference for everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Pamela. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
I love you, Pamela.
Thank you. Thank you. Love, love.
Bye, Pamela. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.